Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today, I'm looking at another video that presents questions that atheists aren't supposed to be able to answer. It's only 5 questions this time.
3 questions.
3 questions. So hopefully it won't take as long as the last Questions for Atheists video. Let's go!
Atheism, a view that constantly leads you to a dead end while questioning the universe.
Well, I mean, the universe isn't exactly a conscious being that can answer our questions. But yeah, I know that's probably not what you meant. It's probably something along the lines of not being sure exactly how the universe began. Sure, that's an unknown, but it's an unknown for everyone. Even if you say God did it, you don't know how he did it, and you can't describe the mechanism. So nobody knows, and even if God did it, we still don't know how. So the answer for everybody is we don't know. The honest answer, anyway.
While everything we see in the universe is actually evidence for accepting the Creator, atheism ignores them.
Nope, I don't ignore anything. I just have yet to see anything that is actually compelling evidence for God.
We can talk about it very long, but today we will consider only 3 questions that atheists cannot answer.
Just keep in mind that for a lot of questions, I don't know is a valid answer and does not automatically mean that God is more likely than if we did know the answer.
Question number 1. Where do these characteristics come from? It's an established rule that one cannot give what one doesn't have to another one. For example, let's say there are only 100 white balls in a glass sphere. What is the chance of a red ball to be chosen from this sphere?
0. I'm unsure where you're going with this.
Of course it's 0, right? No matter how long you wait, you will not get any, because there is no red ball inside the sphere anyway.
I mean, if you want to get all hypothetical, it is possible that if you wait long enough, the Brownian motion of the molecules in one of the balls will cause their atoms to align in just the right way to change the ball's reflective properties and turn it red. The problem is that the amount of time that you'd have to wait until this happens is likely longer than the universe is capable of existing. But you did say no matter how long you wait, so that is within the realm of this hypothetical.
Keep this example in mind. Let's consider a black pencil. Can you draw a rainbow with this pencil?
I'm not entirely sure if it could be done specifically with a pencil, but take a quick peek at this photograph of 2 cars kissing. What is interesting about this picture is that it is actually an amalgamation of 3 black and white photos. And sure, you could argue that the guy who put it together did it in Photoshop, so of course you can add colors to black and white pictures in Photoshop, but this photographic technique has been around since it was suggested by James Clerk Maxwell in the 1850s. This ribbon is the first ever successful color photograph taken in 1861 by Thomas Sutton, and it is a combination of 3 black and white photos. So, to answer the question about using a pencil to draw a rainbow, a talented enough artist could, hypothetically, with a graphite pencil, draw 3 identical black and white rainbows, but with differing shades for the different colors, such that when they are combined, it turns into a color rainbow. This is actually a really good example of a gestalt, something where the total is greater than the sum of its parts, and the one German word that I've been able to say multiple times without having someone try to correct my pronunciation. Also, I've left a link in the description as well as the card in the corner for the video of the guy who put the 2 cars photo together. I highly recommend watching it. It's entertaining, educational, and has a bunch more examples of some great and colorful pictures that he took using this method.
No, because the pencil is in no color other than black, so naturally, a rainbow cannot be drawn.
Okay, but as I pointed out, the 3 color method can take black and white images and make a color picture out of them. Gestalt, the total is greater than the sum of its parts.
What I mean is, you cannot give a feature you don't have to someone else.
That depends very much on what the feature even is. For example, oftentimes, small business owners do not have an income that is based on a wage or salary. It is directly tied to how well their business performs. So the business owner has no wage or salary. They don't have that property. But they can give a wage or salary to their employees, despite not having it themselves. Now, you could argue that I'm being too specific, that they are giving an income to someone just as they have an income, but that's not always the case. Ideally, that is the case, but often business owners whose businesses are failing will wind up doing things like leveraging their personally owned properties in order to continue operating with a negative income, with the hopes of improving their income in the future, all while still paying salaries and wages to their employees.
Now, I take a look at the universe and I see that everything is made of atoms. However, although atoms are ignorant, willless, lifeless, and blind, deaf and numb creatures having no cognitive senses, when they come together and occur to us as a human being, we see that the man made of them carries all these features.
Yeah, a gestalt. The total is greater than the sum of its parts. Also, minor point, but atoms are not creatures. I think you may have confused atoms with cells for a moment. I don't think it affects his point at all. The same principles still apply.
So, the basic question is, how can atoms give these properties to human beings while they lack all of them? As they cannot be the true sources, there must be someone else holding these attributes.
That's not really true. Take computers, for instance. Humans made computers. We, working together with the laws of physics, give them their properties. The laws of physics do not inherently have the properties that computers have, and neither do humans, or we wouldn't need computers in the first place. So computers are something that exist, that are most definitely not made by some magical god being that can instill things with whatever properties it wants. They were made by us limited humans. And yet, they have properties that we do not have. And that is actually true of every human invention. Humans don't invent things that have properties that we already have. We specifically invent things to make up for properties that we wish we had but are lacking. We wish we could communicate with people across long distances instantly, so we invent the telephone. We wish we could fly like birds, so we invent the airplane. We wish it didn't take so long to get from point A to point B, so we invent various forms of fast transportation. Hell, we're actually in the process of developing an artificial eye that has the potential to be connected directly to the optic nerve, and is shaped in such a way that it could replace a real eye should the need arise. And in some ways, it would perform better than a real eye. For one, because this artificial eye was intelligently designed, the wires connecting the light-sensitive components to the optic nerve do not pass in front of the retina to a bundle that gives us a blind spot like in our real eyes.
Because the atom that cannot see cannot create the seeing eye. The atom that cannot hear cannot make the hearing ear. The atom without life cannot form the human who has life.
That all sounds well and good. Well, no, it doesn't really sound well and good, but let's just pretend for a moment that you're right. But you do realize that different atoms have different properties, right? And when you combine different atoms, you get different molecules, which also have different properties. And when you put a bunch of different molecules in the same place, each with different properties, it can have even more properties. These different molecules with different properties can be mixed and matched to perform various functions, each of which is relying on all the various properties of all the molecules and atoms that it is made of. And of course, remember, the eye itself is not what is doing the seeing. The eye just creates electrical signals when it gets hit with photons. It's our brain that does the seeing, interpreting these electrical signals into pictures that we see.
The human being has a variety of feelings while atoms don't have any. And all of these things are repeatedly happening every day, even every second.
Yeah, but when it comes to feelings and emotions and our senses and all of that, it is helpful to keep in mind that all of these, every single one, can be externally affected by things like drugs and electrical probes. Mere atoms can make our senses unreliable and alter our emotional state. Does that mean that there is something supernatural about these drugs and electrical probes? Or is it maybe just that our brains work based on the laws of physics and chemistry?
So isn't it necessary to accept that they are under the command of a creator who has attributes such as knowledge, will, power, life, sight, hearing, and compassion behind these atoms?
Nope, that doesn't follow at all. And it leaves us with the question of where did this creator get these properties? And if he just has these properties for no reason, why can a bunch of atoms together not also just have these properties?
As we said, one cannot give what one doesn't have to another one, so there must be a creator.
And as I pointed out, that's just not the case. If you'd like another example, an unvaccinated clinician can administer a vaccine to a patient. So the clinician, who has no immunity to whatever disease is being vaccinated against, can give immunity to the patient.
Second question, who is the judge, who is the prisoner?
You know, I tend to prefer questions that make sense all by themselves, rather than needing a bunch of explanations to get their point across, especially when the person posing the questions is not very good at making coherent explanations that help with the point.
If everyone is a soldier, a commander is required. If everyone is a prisoner, a judge is needed.
Human-created institutions operate in the way that humans determined they should operate. Therefore, God? Is that where you're going with this?
It's a rule that you cannot be the judge and the prisoner at the same time. What does this mean?
It means that the human beings who created the judicial system recognized that it would be a problem if a judge had the power to preside over their own trial, and so made rules to minimize or eliminate that problem.
You know that a room cannot be dark and light at the same time.
Yes, it can. You literally just showed video footage of an area being partially illuminated by a somewhat concentrated light beam, demonstrating the error of that assertion. There's also the question of how we define light in this instance. A room can be dark in the visible-to-human spectrum of light, but be well-lit in infrared and/or ultraviolet, making it not dark to animals that can detect those wavelengths of light. So a room can simultaneously be dark to humans, but bright to snakes.
Or a paper cannot be dry or wet at the same time.
Sure, I'll grant that one. Some dichotomies are not false dichotomies. Therefore, God?
These are some examples confirming that one cannot hold two opposite attributes at the same time, because carrying two attributes opposite to each other is a contradiction.
Okay, sure, fine. Some dichotomies are true dichotomies. Get to the point already.
Being a judge and being a prisoner are two opposite states. If you are one of them, it's impossible to be the other.
No, it's not. We humans just made rules around who can be a judge that makes that situation difficult to bring about. Now, I don't know whether or not a judge loses their official title of judge if they are sentenced to prison without being impeached first. I don't even know if that's possible, actually. But even without that, if a judge in one country travels to another country and is, say, arbitrarily detained in a way that is common enough that Canada has spearheaded an international declaration condemning arbitrary detention for political gain, and if you're unaware, China has arbitrarily detained two Canadian citizens, likely in retaliation for the arrest of a Huawei executive in Canada pursuant to our extradition treaty with the United States. Dubbed the two Michaels, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, have been held in Chinese prison for more than 2 years in a political maneuver by the Chinese government. Had one of the two Michaels been a Canadian judge, he would simultaneously be a judge in Canada and a prisoner in China, without losing his judiciary position in Canada. So while it may not be common for a judge to be simultaneously judge and prisoner, it is not impossible. All this to say that the reason someone cannot usually be a judge and a prisoner at the same time is not because of the logical law of non-contradiction as is being implied, but because of arbitrary restrictions that human beings have placed on who can be a judge and how judges should behave.
Now, think of a building which is being built with bricks. If you do not accept the architect to build it, it will be a contradiction to accept that bricks are building this on their own.
I'm sorry, what? I'm tempted to quibble with the fact that I would be very surprised to learn that an architect is doing the actual building rather than, you know, a builder, but I feel like this is secondary to the point you're trying to make, which seems to be an attempted rephrasing of the, we know that paintings have a painter, we know that buildings have a builder, so therefore we know creation has a creator line. But you're not really making much sense with this analogy.
Because, in this case, the bricks will be both prisoners and judges of each other at the same time.
I legitimately do not know what to even say to that. This is too nonsensical to counter.
Since all the bricks have a nature that is the same with each other and have no knowledge and free will, they cannot form a building by coming together and agreeing.
Bricks don't build buildings by themselves, therefore God. Is this really your argument?
Otherwise, it will be a contradiction. Who will give the order? Who will apply the order?
See, that's just not it. It's not a logical contradiction for bricks to build buildings. It's just not something that bricks do because they don't have the capacity to build buildings. Things don't do things that they don't have the capacity to do is not an argument for God. At least, not a good one. And I'm feeling it necessary to point out here, even though it's not brought up in the video ever, that another thing that bricks don't do is hang in the air like big yellow somethings.
They hung in the air exactly the same way that bricks don't.
A great confusion would show up. They wouldn't be able to establish a system that could stay protected from collapsing at once.
Maybe bricks couldn't, but there are natural processes that do produce some pretty intricate structures that are perfectly capable of not collapsing on themselves.
So, they are all prisoners, and there must be an architect who has an absolute power on them. The judge is the architect, and the bricks are his prisoners.
You know, the purpose of metaphor is to make a complicated topic easy to understand. You are mixing your metaphors and making a fairly easy to understand topic more complicated than it needs to be. That's not how metaphors are supposed to work. Get your things straight, please.
Likewise, when we examine the human body, we infer that atoms cannot make this system.
No, we do not infer that. We actually observe rather the opposite.
350,000 people are born every day. Who is the commander here and who is the applier?
So we've got soldiers, commanders, judges, prisoners, bricks, architects, and now appliers. Pick a metaphor and stick with it, would you? Also, the point you're trying to make doesn't fit with the soldier and commander part of your metaphor. A military commander is also a soldier, and there are various levels of command such that one can be a commanding officer of a particular post or outfit, but also be under the command of the next person up the line. So they are both commander and subordinate, simultaneously. Anyway, we understand enough about the reproductive processes to know that it does not require a god to operate it.
If we assume the atoms to be doing this job, which ones among them give orders, and which ones follow the orders?
Why are you assuming that there needs to be conscious decision-making through this whole thing? Can it not just be that different atoms behave differently according to the laws of physics and interact with each other differently according to the laws of chemistry? Why are you assigning consciousness somewhere that, to all appearances, there is none?
How can atoms get along with each other and create so many people every day while they have no knowledge, free will, and life?
How can so many water molecules get together to make the ocean? The ocean is big. A water molecule is small. The water molecules, therefore, cannot give the ocean the property of bigness, as something cannot bestow properties that it does not have. Therefore, the oceans are either small or there is a god. And, damn it, I think I just made the argument way more coherent than he's been making it. Don't steal that one. It's meant to show how ridiculous your argument is, but it's hard for me to one-up the ridiculousness of this particular argument.
So, just as bricks cannot make the building, atoms cannot agree to carry out a quite complex job. That is to say, atoms are prisoners and their judge is God, Allah. Just as the same with the architect of the building, the architect of the human being continues to create and keep the human body standing all the time.
Okay, I think I got it. Demonstrably untrue statements, when confused with mixed metaphors, lead to the conclusion that God exists. Can we get to the next question now? The only reason I can't answer this question is because the whole damn thing is incoherent.
Question number 3. What is the real reason?
Can you please just ask a question that can be made sense of by itself? The real reason is penis. There, I answered your question. And my answer makes as much sense as the question itself, given the current lack of context.
Imagine that we see a train, and a baby is pulling this huge train with a rope in his hand. Nobody would believe this, so they would look for a hidden cause behind it, right?
Sure, I can agree that human babies don't have the physical strength required to haul freight trains. What does this have to do with the question?
Because there are no attributes such as sufficient power, knowledge, and will in a baby. No doubt, another resource is required. In fact, we see gaps between causes and effects in the universe every day.
Are you literally about to make a God of the Gaps argument without even trying to hide it? Yes, there are gaps in our knowledge. We don't always understand the causes of some observed effects. And that is the whole purpose of science, to figure out what these causes are and how they operate. These gaps between cause and effect are constantly shrinking and vanishing thanks to science.
While the causes are so simple, the results are extremely complex. The emergence of huge trees from a tiny seed.
Oh, so you're not even going to mention things that we don't understand. Okay, got it. Seeds take in nutrients, which they then use to grow. It's actually really interesting to consider the fact that trees get the bulk of the carbon that they build their trunks out of from atmospheric carbon dioxide. They are almost literally materializing out of thin air. but we know the processes that they use to do this, so as fantastical as it sounds, it is not one of the gaps in our knowledge. This also seems rather unrelated to the question, what is the real reason? Trees. I mean, to be fair, that makes as much sense as penis did, but I purposely chose penis to not make any sense, and as an excuse to say penis. Penis.
The emergence of a magnificent peacock from a simple egg. The emergence of a complex human from some simple water.
Believe it or not, there is a lot more to these processes than what you are saying. And these are also areas where we have a pretty good understanding. Not perfect, to be sure, but good. If you really want to make it a question that we can't answer, then why not try something like abiogenesis or what came before the Big Bang? Those are questions that are much harder to answer than how does growth work? But I'm also unsure how any of this is relevant to the question, what is the real reason?
Show us some examples of the gap between causes and results. So it's necessary to look for another source behind the view.
And we've done that. We understand how growth works. An organism takes in nutrients and incorporates those nutrients into its body. If more nutrients go in than waste material goes out, the organism gets bigger. If fewer nutrients go in than waste material goes out, then the organism gets smaller. This is not profound. This is not difficult. This is basic elementary school biology.
Because atoms lack the required attributes such as knowledge, free will, power, and life.
Individual atoms don't know things. Therefore, organisms cannot grow unless there is a god. That's what I'm getting here. And that just seems like a giant, glaring non sequitur.
So, who holds these attributes? Doesn't science explain this, you might ask?
And have answered. Yes, indeed it does.
No, science only explains the detailed sequence of the stages of their emergence. For example, they observe that there are some certain stages extending over 28 days inside the egg. Observing the stages doesn't mean that you solve the system and find the answer. Observing is just seeing sequences.
I'm unsure of the distinction here. I don't know what 28-day cycle in an egg you're talking about, and I don't think it matters. We observe the sequence of stuff going into an organism and being incorporated into the organism itself. We understand a lot of the mechanisms involved, but yeah, individual atoms don't think, therefore God.
There are still questions in the mind. How can these atoms form a structure like a peacock, despite lacking attributes such as knowledge, free will, power, and life?
Can you even begin to demonstrate that such attributes are necessary to form the structure of a peacock, or anything else that you've brought up at this point in the video? Can you even adequately define all of these attributes? What do you mean by power? Atoms have no power. No, atoms have a lot of power. That's where nuclear power comes from, and that's also why there's really big explosions when you split an atom. What is knowledge? Is it just information? Is it perception? Is it understanding? Philosophers have been debating about this for centuries, and here you come just spouting nonsense like atoms don't have knowledge, so they can't make up things that do have knowledge. What about life? What is life? Life has been defined in literally hundreds of different ways, and every definition seems to have exceptions that we all consider to be alive. Most definitions revolve around defining life by what it does. It reproduces, consumes, grows, etc. But this is where the problems come in. There are living organisms that everyone agrees are alive that don't do some of these things, like reproduce. Mules are mostly sterile, they don't reproduce. And then there are non-living things and processes that do some of these things, like fire. Now, personally, I'm partial to the definition of life that NASA uses, a self-sustaining chemical system capable of Darwinian evolution. But I feel like you won't like that definition, even though it includes everything that is alive and actually does exclude things that are not.
An explanation which is based on temporal sequence of events leaves out these questions with no answers.
I mean, you haven't even tied this back into the question. What is the real reason for what? If you ask a nonsensical question, of course people won't be able to answer it in a meaningful, coherent way. I've got three questions that theists can't answer. Why is grass? How is blue? And where is cold? Without further context or clarification, none of these questions makes any sense and can't get anything more meaningful than a joke answer. I see you down there in the comments answering where is cold with Canada.
So, as you said in the beginning, that a baby cannot pull a train. Just like that, another cause appears to our minds behind the scenes due to the gaps between the so-called causes and their effects that we examine in the universe.
Okay, it's the god of the gaps. Got it. But you're still not tying it back to the question. And he never does. The rest of his video is just the typical YouTube ending telling people to share the video, like, and subscribe or whatever. So, you know, share this video, like, and subscribe or whatever? Today's comment of the day comes to us from Blake Young, who says, "Give me your lunch money or I'll beat you up every day. A bully. Believe in me or burn for eternity. God. What's the difference?" Well, Blake, the difference is that God is so magnanimous as to let you keep your lunch money. Thanks for watching. Special thanks as always to my patrons, Lynn Dobbs, Mark McManus, What Jesus, and all the rest, who are the judges who send the prisoner that is my channel to jail. If you'd like to be an architect, you can join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino. If you feel so inclined, you can also support the channel through direct donation or my Amazon wishlist, which are linked in the description. If you'd like to listen to my videos in podcast form, the link for that is also in the description, as well as links to my social media accounts and my PO Box address. See you next time!